Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities about their business journeys.
So now we are going to move on to somebody who helps us with our everyday computer problems and more. So Yasir Drabu with Taza, T-A-A-Z-A-A. He's the founder and he builds custom software solutions, which if you're running a business, you probably need at some point. So Yasir, can you tell us what that means?
Usually, if you look at the technology ecosystem, there's software that you can buy off the shelf. Like Zoom we are using right now for our conversation, you can just pay a little bit of subscription. We are the company that would build a platform like Zoom for entrepreneurs and other businesses that need to build something unique and innovative. So we are a software product engineering company. We basically help build SaaS platforms or help existing businesses innovate using technology.
How does somebody decide whether to commission custom software solution rather than trying to pick and choose available solutions that maybe are already on the market and could potentially be combined?
I think it is a build versus buy kind of decision. And we largely sell to businesses. So we don't offer direct to consumer products. We sell to other businesses. And usually they buy an ERP or CRM like Salesforce, or they may have other things that they use, but they may have a very unique process that they may need to solve for. And that's where we come in. These days, we do a lot of work with AI. I mean, it's great to have a chatbot, but using your data to actually help drive business decisions and helping streamline your operations is where we come in. Usually, our buyers have already gone through the journey of, hey, I want to solve this problem. I've looked everywhere. Nobody has built it. So it's either funded founders who have unique ideas or businesses that are facing operational inefficiencies or want to innovate into a new line of business. So that's where this really comes into play.
So you've covered just about every business on the face of the earth with that.
That creates a really hard marketing problem for us because that's why we have to kind of focus on specific verticals where we can specialize. So.
Right. So do you work with AI agents at all?
Yes, we do.
I would love it if you could explain that a little bit because I heard the term a few months ago and I watched a webinar on it, which froze halfway through and I couldn't keep watching it. It's like, wait a minute, this is a high-tech webinar. But I think a lot of people don't really understand yet what those are.
As LLMs, which is the technology right now that's causing a lot of disruption, start comprehending natural language and being able to give you somewhat meaningful answers, with there's still challenges with that in some parts, and they're getting better each day. Now, you can ask it a question, and it gives you a reasonable response. It's really, think of it like the next version of Google, which summarizes the content, but it also has some comprehension and reasoning along with it because it can summarize that answer. Based on that, you can now tell it to do things, right? That's where it becomes agentic, where one of simple use cases, we believe that in a year or two, I don't know, everybody will have their own personal AI assistant, which, hey, book me a ticket to this. Right now you go to Expedia or you go to booking.com or wherever, and then you search for the flights and filter it. Either you do it or somebody does it for you. Down the road, an agent can actually go to the site and do that for you. And those are already in early stages of testing. So what it does is it becomes like an agent. You don't need a programmer like myself to build those things, which it would have been true 10 years ago. Now you can actually coach these agents and spin them out to do work for you on things that are mundane or there's different things these agents can be used. So essentially an agent is, it's still software that runs like a program, just like Zoom or any other tool that we use, but it does things somewhat semi-autonomously without having to be explicitly coded to do that, right? Coding till 2 to 3 years ago was, if you needed it to do something, you would hire a programmer or a programming company like ours that would write explicitly, do this, then do this. It's very deterministic. Now you can kind of guide an agent, hey, browse this website and do these. And the agents can actually then coordinate and do that. At a very rudimentary level, an agent is a piece of software that can really do what normal software does, but the way you build those is using AI technologies like LLMs and things like that.
Yes, sir. You mentioned during your discussion that previously you would do the programming and now AI is able to help or assist with some of that. How has your company changed over the last couple of years with the introduction of artificial intelligence?
I think the kind of problems we're solving right now has changed. There's a lot of problems that would require a lot of programming in the past. Now you can actually change that whole interaction. For example, booking an airline ticket, you go to an Expedia or you go to a Kayak and you go through this whole search process. And now you can simply talk to an agent and say, it still requires programming. And our company is basically looking at that. Instead of it taking you 30 minutes to book a ticket, now you can say, hey, my agent, you already know my preference. I like to travel this airlines. I have my loyalty points here. Here's my preferred times. I don't like to get up at 3 a.m. and go to the airport for a 5 a.m. flight. It has all your preferences, and then it finds the flight within your price range within a minute and saves you a lot of time. So we've been moving more towards building these workflows for companies. A lot of it within companies requires proprietary data and their internal data to understand it. So that's where we are building systems that kind of layer up on that. So our shift, not in the few years, actually more in the last 12 to 18 months, has been how do we incorporate this innovation and help businesses become more efficient. So that's how AI is shifting. So
are you building custom GPTs inside businesses for their own data?
Yes, we are.
I've heard that quite a number of businesses are starting to do that now, and they want to have data that's reliable because a lot of the data on the internet that the GPTs find is wrong.
Yes. And you have to understand, while it is still artificial intelligence, it's not actual intelligence. It's a statistical mathematical model that tells you the highest probability what the next word should be. So does it truly know the meaning? Even OpenAI doesn't know the answer to that. So it seems to mimic us really well based on the knowledge that we have created on the internet. So we still need to validate it and stop it from giving false answers. So we take a lot of businesses' proprietary data and protect it because that's going to be an asset of the future. Is businesses need to protect their data.
It's interesting though. I did a search recently trying to find out how many patents Twitter had, or it used to be Twitter, now it's X. And the software, the first time I answered the question, it came back with about 2,500 patents. And I asked the question again, and then it came back with 2,000. And so that's one of the things about artificial intelligence, is that sometimes the values that you get are not entirely consistent, even if the question is essentially the same. How does that happen? And given that, how much can we really rely on AI to make important decisions?
I would say it's not accurate. That's why there's an industry term that they call hallucination, which basically speaks to the problem that you have. Why it happens is truly the answer is because of the complexity of how these neural networks are set up to respond to an answer. They can take different pathways on a probabilistic model. It's probability. That's why it's not 100% predictable.
Does that mean then that AI is never really going to be able to give consistent results? Because there is an actual true numerical value to the question that I answered.
And that's why we augment it with real data. There are RAG pipelines, and there's things that you can do, which is what we build, is to then augment it with the real data and actually put controls in place to validate some of that data against a data source to check for the true value. Will it get better? It probably will. I mean, the way things are moving, I'd be surprised if every 6 months it doesn't get better, and the amount of money being poured into it, I believe that they will continue making this better. It may be that they have to shift the way they do things, the way it's currently done with large language models. There has to be some other innovation to really take it to that next level, is my guess.
Do you think that people would put information on the internet for these GPTs to find that is wrong on purpose? More people are getting podcast content on YouTube than anywhere else these days. And I did actually see some empirical research that somebody presented at a conference that is true. But what if it wasn't true and Google put that out there and the GPTs found that and said, hey, Google's beating Spotify at the podcast game? Do you think people are purposely doing that?
humanity has a lot of empathy and kindness on one side, but there is a nefarious side to us, unfortunately. It comes as a package just like everything else, right? We're talking about drones, efficiency, and goodwill, and there is a side to us that we have to acknowledge and accept. So to your point earlier, you mentioned that you were looking for jobs for people to come into the office and the filters don't work. It's not that the filters don't work. It's because people are purposely obfuscating the data that the filter should look at. So they're lying, I'm in the US or I can work in the US, even though they might be sitting in Philippines or India or somewhere else. I'm not picking on those countries. I'm just saying, if the data is wrong, your filters are not going to work. So I think there's a lot of people trying to figure out how to feed into these chat engines, AI engines, to probably spit out an answer that's biased or favorable to them. I mean, right now, just like we used to do SEO, now people are like, for marketing, how do you feed it into the LLMs as they're crawling the web? So the AI doesn't know the difference.
Yeah, I got in a fight with the AI because I said, why is Gearhart Law considered a top law firm? He said, well, I don't think that you've got that right or whatever. I said, well, then how come it got these awards? And it's like, well, and I forget what it said after that, but it was pretty funny. I mean, because obviously Gearhart Law is not this huge law firm, and that's what it was looking for, was huge law firms. But yeah, so I kind of gotten this back and forth with it. So I think there's different ways you can put data in there to manipulate it if you really want to, right?
That's true. Just like DXT, or, you know, the robots file that you had for SEO and crawling websites for Google, now you can provide actual content.
It sounds like you have an incredible depth of knowledge with what's going on in the software world today, and you're using that to help companies get the software they need to be competitive in today's marketplace, really. So how do people get a hold of you?
There's a website, Taza.com, T-A-A-Z-A.com. Started the company 15 years ago with the idea of take a fresh approach every time. That's what Taza means in many languages, by the way. And I'm also on LinkedIn. So I try to avoid the other social media platforms for my own mental sanity, but I am on the website as well as on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.